Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen, amen, amen. So you may be seated. Well, before we get started, we're going to do a little bit interactive today. I'm going to have you doing some things. So before we get started, I'd like you to look around, and if there's any ladies to the right or left or behind you that you don't know, would you go ahead and introduce yourself quickly? To say, hi, my name is, you know, first name. You don't have to give all your credentials, just your name. And just make sure that you're comfortable with each other because we're going to be interacting. Man, it's like wildfire in here. Very good, very good. Well, I think we've got some new best friends already, right? For years, we called this girlfriends because we said, here's your new girlfriend. Here's your godly girlfriend that you've been believing God for. I remember I was new at a church one time as a young single. I moved to a new town and walked into a small church, and a girl walked up to me, and she said, you're my new best friend. And we've been best friends ever since. That's been about 40 years. So I'm telling you, you're going to meet your best friend here, a godly friend. Amen. Well, so we're starting this series, Gotta Have Faith. We gotta have faith. And that's kind of Sandra Dino grammar, but my English major daughter wouldn't like that. But we gotta have faith. Are you with me? We gotta have faith. So this first part of this series, we're calling, what is faith? Let's define faith. Let's get some things established so we know what we're talking about. Sometimes people say, what is your faith? And they're saying, you know, what religion are you? You know, but when we talk about faith around here, we're talking about faith in God's word and a faith that holds us solid and believing his word over every area of our lives. Are you with me? So let's learn some things about faith today. Amen? In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's actually impossible to please God. So do we want to please God with our lives? Yes, we need to learn about this subject. So as we're in Hebrews 11, I just quoted that verse. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 in the New King James. I like to just jump in the word. I've never been that great with my intros. I put a little note, intro, and there's nothing there. But anyway, I'm always kind of antsy to just jump in the word and let it speak for itself because, as our founding pastors have said for years, you didn't come to hear from a woman. You didn't come to hear from the rich or the poor, the smart or the dumb, the tall or the short, the skinny or the fat. You came to hear from God. Amen? Well, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen, the things you see, were not made of things which are visible. So the invisible created the visible. The invisible, what was in God's heart, preceded what we see. And that's why I love it. You know, I love certain types of flowers, and I don't have that much of a green thumb, but there's certain ones that I have growing in my yard. I have some roses. My favorite is pansies. They just keep growing and growing. They're so cute. But anyway, but I look at things like that sometimes, and I think, oh, that was in the heart of God the Father. He created beauty. You know, it was in his heart. And like Pastor Deborah said one time, it stuck in me. He has beautiful flowers on the backside of mountains that no one's ever going to see. But he enjoys it. And so God created what we see from his very own heart, from the unseen. So the unseen is actually more real than the seen because it preceded everything we see. Are you with me? The Message Bible, just verse 3 says, by faith we see that the world called into existence, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. Let's look at that verse in the Amplified. I've got it on the screens for you because it breaks it open a little bit. This is a little bit long, but work with me, girls. Now, faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Some of us have a title deed to our house. A title deed of the things we hope for. It's the title deed of what you hope for. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Might not yet be revealed to your five senses. You might not see it. You might not taste it. You might not touch it. You might not hear it. You might not, what's the other word? Feel it. But it is, in fact, more real, the unseen, than what you feel or think or see. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Now let's look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, they were fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see, again, was not made of things which are visible. What we see, God spoke, and it was. And then many things have propagated after themselves. Like he created the original people. You know, he doesn't speak forth and you come forth like Adam and Eve did. But he created every kind to produce after their own kind. So he did that with people. He did that with the animals. And he created, he molded and fixed mountains. And he set the boundaries for the oceans. And he did that. In Genesis 1:1, it says, and God said, and it was. There was light. And God said, and he created the moon and the stars. And God said. And so God said, and he spoke into existence everything that we see. So faith has substance. We have to think of it that way. Faith has substance. You might not see it yet, but that which you hope for, as you receive it from God and you begin to believe according to his word, there is actually a substance to it. Fred Price called it a heavenly materiality. That's always stuck with me. It's a heavenly materiality. Faith has substance, and it will bring from the unseen into the seen. As long as it stays in the hope realm, as long as it stays on the dream board, it will be beautiful and it will be nice and it will be a desire in your heart. But there's got to be something that brings it from the unseen into the seen. Are you with me? And that's what we need in our lives. The Bible actually says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. So how many want to please God? I want to please God. So we need to be women of faith. We need to be women that are believing that what God said is true and believing for his promises to become a reality in our lives. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just, well, you know, some people, they have a lot. And, you know, I'm just going to settle down over here and just be kind of comfortable in my little world. And, you know, I don't want to make any waves for anybody. And nobody really knows who I am, so I'm just going to stay depressed in my little corner. He has called us to be used of him, to reach out with filled hands to the needy, and he wants to fill our hands so that we can. And he wants to get us out of ourselves and out into a world that is hungry and dying for the love of God. Are you with me? And it's not just about material things today. We're not just talking about that. But we're understanding what faith is so we can get it working in our lives. Are you with me? And most of us are just a little sensory-oriented enough that I think God likes to whet our appetite on believing him for things. And things are okay. He said, whatever things you desire. When you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. God knows you need a good house. God knows you need a car that runs. You got to get to church. You know, God knows the material things that you need and they're not evil as long as they don't have your heart. Are you with me? But some of us in the early days, we kind of got all excited about getting things and some people kind of camped there. And I praise God around this church, we've learned to go that next step. And to believe God for people to get born again. And believe God for people to come to church. And believe God for you to be the one that's used to minister and bless somebody else. Are you with me? So we're talking about this unseen realm. That faith is actually like the title deed. Like if you own a home, you might even still own a portion to the bank. Oh, a portion to the bank. But it's the title deed. It's what says that you have that house physically. It is your assurance. It's your confirmation. Faith is our evidence of what we can't see. It is evidence. How do you know? Oh, I just know. How do you know? Well, I believe that I've received. I believe. That is your substance. That is the evidence of what you can't see. I quoted it a minute ago, but Romans 10:17 is where it says, "With faith comes." I'm sorry, I quoted a different scripture. I haven't quoted this one yet, but Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you need faith? Do you need faith? We all need faith. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I like to say it like this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And hearing, and I've been around this about 46 years, and I keep needing to hear and hear and hear the word of God. Because we live in a fallen world that is negative. It is so negative. I'm like, gosh, can our president even do anything? But anyway, the world is so negative. And so we have to wash ourselves clean. That's why around here we just hammer it. Come to church. Come to church. Come to church. Is church the only thing you need in your life? No, you need Jesus. But we know when you come, we're going to give the word of God. We're going to infuse you with faith. We're going to lift you up. We're going to preach the word in such a way that it makes sense to you, and you learn and you grow and you actually become nicer and better. Don't we want to become nicer and better? Did my bow come undone? Anyway. So we need to become nicer and better, and we need to go, as the Bible says, from one degree of glory to another. And so to get the dust of the world off, we come to church and we hear the word of God, and something ignites on the inside of us, and it spurs us on so that we go back and we spend time at the feet of Jesus and we hear his word, and an understanding has come of what his word can be in our lives. Joshua 1:8 says to meditate on the word day and night. Meditate on the word day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in there. It says to meditate on it day and night. Well, obviously, you can't walk around like this. You know, if you're mom and grandma and you know, single looking for a husband and all that, you can't walk around like this all day. You know, at one point I wanted to, you know, I just wanted to divorce myself from people because all I cared about was God's word. But then he told me I still had to have people in my life. But anyway, but it says that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. That's kind of weird. It shall not depart out of your mouth, but you may observe to do, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. Write down Joshua 1:8. You need to look it up later. I didn't have it on the overheads. Pastor Deborah and a lot of the teaching pastors have taught us that that's why God gave us this imagination. Now, as women, we pervert it, and we imagine our husbands with somebody else, and we imagine our kids getting on drugs, and we imagine all kinds of negative things, but God has actually given us our imagination so we can dream, so we can hope, and so we can imagine ourselves. We can do instant replay in our mind, and we can imagine ourselves doing what God says to do, receiving what he has for us. And so he says, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it day and night to observe to do it. So when I'm reading what Jesus did, I try to do instant replay and look at my life in a similar incident and what I did that wasn't what he did. And I let the Holy Spirit help me show me how I should have done it like him. And you allow the Holy Spirit to help you see yourself doing what God says do. That relative that you always lose your temper with, instant replay, show them they're going to be critical as soon as they come in your house. You know, your turkey wasn't right. Your cranberries didn't have the actual berries in them. You know, they were helping you set the table and they looked at the glass and yes, there were water spots. You know, we all have them in our lives, right? So I hear an amen. So you imagine yourself with the same relative coming over. You know they're going to do it. And you let the Holy Spirit show you how to respond to them instead of react, instead of go in the room and use some high school language under your breath or say to your husband, get her away from me, get her away from me. No. We're learning to walk in the love of God. And so we allow the Holy Spirit to show us how we're to behave before we even get in the situation many times. And then you'll see yourself, you've already walked it out. So now it's much easier to be lovely. It's much easier to respond according with the fruit of the Spirit and according to the love of God. Are you with me? But it says it will not depart out of our mouth. That means we've got to start saying what God says. Are you with me? Now, that doesn't mean that I bump you and just the word of God just flows out and you can't ever say, hi, how are you? There was that trend a while back, you know. Well, how are you? I'm fine. I'm blessed with heaven's best. And Jesus is my Lord. You know, and they just spurred off scripture and you couldn't even have a kind of a normal conversation. But it means that whatever's going on in our life, we choose to speak what God says about our situation because we believe we've received it by faith than what is the reality, what we see with our eyes. See, that unseen, that substance of faith in our heart is more real according to God. God's always looking for what do you believe? Turn to your neighbor and say, what do you believe, sister? God is always looking for what do you believe? He's after your heart. He loves you equally as much as anyone else. I always say I'm God's favorite, but you know what? You're his favorite. He has lots of favorites. So you let him answer some of your prayers so people get jealous of you. Are you with me? What do you believe? Because that belief, what you believe you've received about your situation has substance. It's your title deed. You might not even be living in the house that you've got a title deed to, but it's your house. And if there's somebody living in it that's not supposed to be there, you can get them out because it's your house. Are you with me? We've got to have faith, ladies. We've got to believe God's word. And we've got to have it coming out of our mouth. Now, turning your Bibles, well, my next point I want to make is faith starts where the will of God is known. Faith starts where the will of God is known. You can't say, some people got crazy years ago and they say, I'm believing God for $1 million by next Tuesday. Well, that's foolishness. No, that's not going to happen. Where's your scripture that says, thou shalt have $1 million by next Tuesday? It isn't in the word of God. So it's not just faith for faith. The world cracks me up. Oh, just believe in yourself. You are so limited. Are you kidding me? Believe in yourself. You can do everything. Well, no, you can't. Let me tell you, if you can't sing, if you're tone deaf, you're not going to be opera star. So what we're telling our kids is not even true. You can be anything. You can do anything. You can be what God's designed you to be without fear or insecurity or limitation. And you can do what God's told you to do. And some of us need to be getting about the Father's business. Do I hear an amen? We've whined around with excuses for way too long. But we need to believe God's word. It starts where the will of God is known. So that's why you got to get in the book. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Those of you that don't like to really study, you've got to find out. You've got to go to the word of God with hunger. You've got to find out what is God's will concerning this area. You know, I don't want to put anybody in condemnation. I really don't. That's not my intent today. But I hear way too much people saying things, even around here, that aren't in line with God's word. Like, you know, they've gotten a negative report from the doctor. And they say, well, you know, if it's God's will, he'll heal me. Well, all that told me when that person said that, and again, she's not here. Don't worry about it. But is that you don't know God's will concerning that area. When God has revealed his will to us, then we have a responsibility to find out what it is and believe we've received it. And yet, I don't know his individual will about everything. I don't know if my husband and I are going to, you know, be living in another country someday, or I don't know if this is the last house we're going to own. There's certain things like that. The specific individual will of God for my life, some of those things I don't know yet. There's some desires in my heart that I talk to God about. But his general will, what his will is concerning your healing, concerning your prosperity, concerning the relationships that you're to have in your life, how you are to act, how you are to relate to other people. It's all here. This is the manual. People say sometimes, oh, you know, babies don't come with a manual. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They do. They come with a manual. And this tells parents how to raise their children. Yeah, it gives you a lot of wisdom, a lot of instruction. But we have a responsibility to get into the Word and find out what it says. And once you know the general will of God, and you're getting to know the voice of God because His Spirit and His Word agree, He's not going to tell you to do one thing and then the Word of God says something else. So once you get to know His voice through His Word, then as you spend time in prayer and in His presence, you're going to hear Him speak concerning the specific will of God for you, for your life. Are you with me? But we got to get to first base, ladies. We got to get, I say, don't go around listening for voices until you know the Holy Spirit's voice. You know His voice this way, and then that flaky stuff that people say, oh, God told me to go kill my mother. No, that wasn't God. That was little g God, the god of this world system, who's a maniac, who is insidious and horrible, and yes, kills babies before they're born, that God, but not our God, not Father God displayed through the life of Jesus, who showed us everything, how to act, how to be. No, He is love. Are you with me? So it starts where the will of God is known. Real faith, biblical faith, has to be rooted in the promises of God. So you've got to find out what God says. You know, and we can't believe for crazy things. We have to be grounded in the Word of God. You can't say, oh God, you know, I want that woman's husband. No, that's covetousness. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's a desire. He's the desire of my heart. No, He's the lust of your flesh. And if you get in the Word, you find out the difference. And no, God's not going to bless you with something that's out of His will. Are you with me? People say, oh, that's a desire of my heart. No, no, no. Anyway, but over in Matthew 8, this answered some questions for me one time. And I don't have it for you on the overhead. You're going to have to look it up in your Bible. Did you bring your Bible? But in Matthew 8, verse 1, let's start with verse 2. It says, and behold, a leper came and worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know, sometimes we know God is God. He can do anything. But many times what we doubt is His willingness. But He's God. He's love. He created you. As a parent with their child, He wants only the best for you. And Ephesians 3, it says that He wants exceedingly abundantly. We went through that in Ephesians. He wants exceedingly abundantly above what you can even ask or think for you in your life. He's God. He knows the limitlessness that He put in you, that He gave you this mind that even the most gifted geniuses use about 10% of their brain. You know, Adam and Eve must have been phenomenal. So there's parts of our brain that haven't even been yet unearthed by the power of God and enlightened by the power of God. And He's put abilities in us that we, because of fear, we've backed off. When He's given us creative and amazing abilities, that whatever He's called us to do, we can do in a very gifted way. But we've put limits on that. And so we don't doubt His ability, but many times we doubt His willingness. Well, the leper came to Jesus with that same, I know you can. I've seen you heal people. I know you can. But, you know, I don't know if you're willing. After all, I'm a leper. And, you know, there's no cure for leprosy. And Jesus nailed that question right there and said, I will, reach down and healed him. And we need to quit doubt His willingness. Oh, if it be Thy will. I'm so glad that religious line isn't used around here. If it be Thy will. Well, if you don't know the will of God, yes, you have to say that. But if He's been specific about what His will is concerning healing, concerning prosperity, concerning relationships, and He has, then don't say, if it be Thy will. He's already told you what His will is. Are you with me? It's like when my kids were little and I told them I was going to give them allowance on Saturday. I would much rather, on Saturday, them say, Mom, you know, if you don't have the money, don't worry about it. I'm okay. Kind of doubt my ability. Sometimes they needed to doubt my ability because I didn't go to the bank, didn't get change, all that kind of stuff. And so as a parent, I never minded them saying, oh, if you don't have cash, Mom, don't worry. You know, it's fine. I'll still clean my room. I don't know if they ever said that. But anyway, but I would much rather them say that than get in my face and say, Mom, I know you can give my allowance, but I don't think you want to. Are you willing to give me my allowance? Of course, as a parent, you're willing to give your child anything. And that's the heart of the Heavenly Father. He is willing, ladies. He's willing to heal you. He's willing to bless you. He's willing to give you that job you need. He's willing to work in your life. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could even imagine. You think the dream board's cool? Way more than the dream board. He wants to give you. So don't doubt his willingness. Let's look at the definition of faith that Jesus gives in Mark 11, 23 and 24. And this goes right along with what we're saying. Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, it was pointed out to me years ago, and it's always stuck with me, that it says, he tells us here to say three times more than he even says to believe. He says, and does not doubt. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, he says, believing that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When you pray, you've got to lock and load. But then, like we were talking about, you need to begin to speak what God says about your situation. Find the promise of God that promises that to you. If you're believing for healing, there's a multitude of scriptures. But just go to 1 Peter 2:24. I remember, you know, it's probably been about a year ago or so now, Dr. Vanessa passed out a big old sheet of paper with all the promises of God on it. How many of you still have that? And they're not hard to find. But if you're believing God for healing, go to 1 Peter 2:24, and it says, with Jesus' stripes, you were healed. That's a past tense. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus already paid the price for your healing. So it is the will of God for you to be healed. Amen? So you don't need to say, God, if it's your will. He's established what his will is. So then you pray, and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, thank you that with your stripes, you've healed me already. I believe I've received. You got to lock and load. I believe I've received my healing. Thank you very much. And then the rest of your prayer life in that area becomes that of praise. Praising him and thanking him because you believed you received it. You believe you receive when you pray. Like Pastor Deborah said before, you got to do the holy hallelujah dance when you receive. And then you'll have it. Then you'll walk it out. But that which you desire, you find the promise in God's word. And in prayer, you believe that you receive it. And there's faith. Faith has substance. And so you keep your faith activated by praising him and thanking him. Looking over his word, letting the Holy Spirit show you other scriptures. Saying it out loud. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pastor Sue, pray for me. I just don't feel like I have faith. Well, you're looking to the realm of your senses, your feelings, to determine if you have faith. I'm not trying to